Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. You're listening once again to another edition of Religion Means Life. I'm your host, Imam Alfred. And I'm absolutely pumped up and excited about Religion Means Alive. We are waiting for our brother and friend, Brother Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, coming to us from the last battle station of the human rights movement. I would invite all you who are listening today to go to the website of Mosque Care to see the exciting pictures and let you know that religion is on the move and religion is alive. It means alive. Give it up, people. I'm going to play a broadcast until our brother arrives, and as soon as he arrives, I will bring him right on. So please stand by as we play a broadcast.
Blog Talk Radio.
Peace be on our honorable, noble listening audience. We'd like to greet you all and welcome you to another edition, October.
Our dear beloved brother has arrived in the studio. He's pumped up. He's jumped up. He's ready. He's fired and ready to go. And I speak of none other than our brother and friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam, a true soldier that fought in the battle against segregation and white supremacy and smashed it like it was an egg. And he's now ready to smash up Satan's den, smash up the myth of Ham, cut off the tail of the white supremacist. We're not talking about T-A-I-L-S, but the T-A-L-E-S. And now, without a further ado, let us hear from our dear brother and dear friend, Imam Yusuf Abdul Salam. As I greet you in peace, Assalamu alaikum.
Boom. We open with Allah's name. The praise and thanks is for Allah. We thank Him for the gift and blessing of the model human person, Muhammad, peace be upon him, the honorable and noble servant and messenger of Allah. And what follows of that salute or that traditional salutation to the last prophet, the seal of the prophets mentioned in Bible as it is given in the Quran. Dearly beloved people, audience, and beloved guests, we greet you in the greeting of peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Dearly beloved people, we would like to continue in our series of debunking the myth of Ham. And reflecting on the life of a blessed Imam. Of course, when we say a blessed Imam, we're talking about Imam Waruddin Muhammad, who lives though we perceive him not, who lived before though we perceive him not. Our subtopic is by the grace of Allah, the Imam received the knowledge that placed us on a higher level than the manipulative devils. I repeat, our subtopic, by the grace of Allah, the Imam, place us on a higher, subhanAllah, by the grace of Allah, the Imam was blessed with for knowledge that put us, I mean by us, the good, decent human being, especially the descendants of slaves, the sons and daughters of Ham and America, African-American people, put us on a higher level than the manipulative devils. I would like to start this broadcast with a reading from the Imam's book, Language Strategy, Freedom for a New People, words by Imam Mu'adhuddin Muhammad. The Imam was a rational leader and very intelligent and obedient leader to Almighty God. But he did not hesitate to bring us in the full reality of the nature of this world that we're dealing with. And some of us want to sugarcoat the Imam, take all the starch out of the Imam, take all of the controversy out of the Imam, take all of the challenge and strength out of the Imam, and reduce him to this goody-goody, pious, almost otherworldly leader bringing us so-called Orthodox Islam. That Imam is a pigment of weak minds' imagination. I repeat, that Imam is a pigment of weak minds' imagination. We must forever stay in contact with the poor dimension of the Imam's leadership. We should not buy into a chiseled down version of his leadership, designed to take him to a dimension that people rooted in the earth cannot even stand to identify with. So when I read, inshallah, this statement, I'm reading a statement from Imam Muhammad himself. And of course, we know his words are not on the authoritative level of the revealed word of God. We understand that. Nor is it on the same level with the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But we contend that the content and substance of what he said was directly formulated from the guidance of God in his study of Quran and the Sunnah of Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And let me read, this is from a chapter in this book, chapter 11. The Imam says, diabetes in the rich man, the plan to capture the world. There was a plan, I'm coming directly from the Imam, by the Zionist devils. Now, let me make it clear. The Imam is very precise and concise in his language. He didn't make a wild, irrational, anti-Semitic charge against the sons and daughters of Adam who belong to the Jewish ethnicity, like some of the wild ones would do and make blanket statements about Yahudis and all this other foolishness we talk. No, indeed, he used the language explicitly, Zionist devils, which does not have anything to do with decent God-fearing, human excellent individuals from the Jewish ethnicity. Any more than these bogus individuals from ISIS that have nowhere near any right to claim the Muslim title. Any more than they have anything to do. Any more than they have. Excuse me, I got a call. Excuse me, I'm turning my cell phone. Any more than they have anything to do with the good faith and sincere Muslim believer all across the planet. So I wanted to make that clear, crystal clear. The Imam is a student of Quran. And Quran advocate that we make salat 5 times a day. And in that salat, we ask for blessings upon Ibrahim, our father, and the true followers of Ibrahim. The true followers of Isa, who call themselves Christians. The followers of the Judaic faith, as true followers of Ibrahim, excuse me, the Imam was obligated to make that prayer 5 times a day, where he asks Allah, excuse me, audience, to bless Christians and Jews through that prayer. So now, what twisted mind would have the audacity, the unmitigated gall, to try to take this statement and claim that the Imam was some kind of anti-Jewish or anti-Semitic bigot? According to the Quran, I'm paraphrasing. The good faith Jews, the good faith Christian, and the good faith Muslim, we're only going to be judged by the good that we do. Do you understand? So others must stand on their own. ISIS, CLIC, Zionists, Klansmen, or any other category of deranged human minds. Oh, yes. So let me go on. I had to clear that up. They don't see themselves as devils. They see themselves as angels. See, it's this kind of knowledge that Allah, an insight that Allah gave the Imam. See, when everyday people in our church tradition, they talk about the devil and they talk about Satan as if Satan is just out trying to make himself into an evil individual and that he's calculating all the time and consciously wanting to be evil and that his identity is rooted in evil. Same thing about devils. But the man said they really don't see themselves as wicked people, as evil people. They see themselves, excuse me, as angels. See, this is the kind of knowledge and insight that was given our blessed Imam that put us on a higher level than these devils. He said, the beast called himself an angel, didn't he? That's why he was up there. Leading angels. Then Imam goes on to say there was a plan to capture the world for themselves. And see, what we see playing out on the earth today in terms of planetary reality is Allah in this day of Yom Medin. This day of Yom Kiyamah. We see Allah checking this plan. Checking this scheme, checking this plot and bringing it to the book, demonstrating his will, demonstrating his work by commotion, followed by off-repeated commotion. Demonstrating his will, demonstrating his plan through events, commotion, followed by off-repeated commotion. Then the Imam, this blessed one who was graced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, went on to say, one of the strategies for getting the world was through secret plans to manage the human nature and to progress the nature. So whoever can be successful in achieving that will have the world. God revealed his word to mankind so that man would be responsible for his own nature, for advancing that nature in the rich world that God put that nature in to get benefit from. Quote, unquote. Now, let's just take a look at some of these events briefly, and then we'll go to Quran and Bible to bring us home, inshallah. I just got a report that some African-American clone, I hate to even speculate, but I don't have any proof of that, some kind of quasi-Manchurian manipulated fake out there claiming to be Muslims, tattoos everywhere, Assalamu alaikum on his body, Christian on his body, Judah on his body. Well, what is it he's supposed to be? All of a sudden now in America, some African-American, when the students of the Imam are standing strong, when it's clear that the Imam's mission has not died in America, all of a sudden now the American public is put in fear of African-American Muslim because they claiming right here in America some African-American Muslim have beheaded a woman or two. I don't buy it for one moment. It smacks of the manipulation. It smacks of the devilism that the Imam is talking about in these quotes. All of a sudden now, it's mighty convenient. It was convenient for when it seemed like the Obama administration had came in and got Osama bin Laden and tapped down on Al-Qaeda and reduce the threat. And he goes on in a childish manner one day on television and talked about these other groups as being junior varsity, which they were at the time. Now all of a sudden, they some kind of major global threat, this ISIS group. And now they've gone and dug up something. When I say they, I'm referring to these devils who the Imam just referenced. I'm not talking about any secular government. I'm not talking about the state of Israel. I'm not talking about the U.S. government. I'm not talking about any Muslim agency in the Middle East and any political intrigue coming out of those countries. I'm talking about these devils that the Imam just referenced. All of a sudden now, we got a big threat in the Middle East, beheadings. And after Obama make a civilized statement, after he demonstrate before the world, at the UN, a son of Africa, no African son has commanded European power since Hannibal, since the great general Hannibal. All of a sudden, demonstrated Farrar's adage that the beauty of the civilized one is to teach the uncivilized civilization. So this son of Ham go before the UN and talk civilization to the world. Teach a Semite Kupa about Islam to the world. Then he chairs a Security Council meeting. Brings dignity, brings excellence to the American governmental order. And all of a sudden, 2 days after this happened, and the day after Eric Holder, who stood firm on the U.S. Constitution in his tenure, not perfectly firm, but no baseball hitter has to be about 1,000. But he did an excellent job. The day after he resigned, here we get this report that some African-American Muslim in America have beheaded a woman or two in this country. Why couldn't it be some immigrant Muslim from Pakistan, from Yemen? They're the ones who they say is radicalized. They're the ones who have this animus so-called against the West behind imperialism and colonialism. Now all of a sudden, they bring this old crazy man thing back. Well, legend in the early 30s in the Nation of Islam, a brother in Detroit listened to a teaching about beheading devils when he did something foolish to his own Nation of Islam brother. All of a sudden now, an African-American so-called Muslim in America is beheading folk. Why is it that this thing got to be brought home and make the African-American Muslim a threat? Even during the days of the fiery rhetoric of the late Malcolm Shabazz, Malcolm Shabazz did not lift a finger in a revolutionary sense against anybody in America, did not pick up one gun, did not pick up one weapon. With all of his fiery rhetoric, with all his fiery language, and this was back during the days when we were struggling still against Jim Crowism. It was not dead completely during his lifetime. We were struggling against subjugation and oppression. And even the brothers with fiery language did not use any violence of that nature. Now all of a sudden, when the Imam has been here, when we've had an African-American commander-in-chief, when we've had a top law man in this country, where African-Americans have made some progress, all of a sudden now, you got an African-American beheading folk. I quote the man, so this game been put together for a mind that does not work. This game been put together for a mind that does not work. It has not been put together for a student of the Imam. That's too convenient. Brother, you being paranoid? Brother, you being conspiratorial? Look, call it what you may. It's too convenient. All of a sudden, when Obama takes international action and put a plan in place to check ISIS, now here's something happening that's going to further exacerbate the insecurity and fear of the American people against Muslims since 9/11. Yes, we're not naive. Yes, there's enemies of al-Islam. Yes, there's enemies of African-American Muslim progress, especially under the leadership of Emmanuel D. Muhammad. Yes, there's still people living in America calling the world to the excellent message of Imam Muhammad, but not a sugary message. But when he checked these devils, and I'm going to repeat him, there was a plan by the Zionist devils. They don't see themselves as devils. They see themselves as angels. Iblis called himself an angel, didn't he? That's why he was up there leading angels. After the proto-Muslim, he's not the Khalifa, the proto-Muslim. The Khalifa is that's going to manage this thing, that's going to govern this thing. The way that Allah has decreed for the governor of this picture, responding to the inherent excellent picture of his own nature. He's coming, but until that time, Allah raised up a proto-Khalifa, a civilizer, who taught the whole globe civilization a couple of days ago. Oh, yes. And he taught only a few days after the 6th anniversary of the passing of Imam Muhammad. Oh, yes. And when that event occurred, he was leading the world in the land of Wales, the land of Wallace. Right before his global civilizing message, there was a vote taken in Scotland as to whether or not they wanted to be independent or free. And around about that same time, this student of the Imam was looking at old movies on television, and they played this movie starting Mel Gibson. The name of the movie was called Braveheart, and the main star that is generally characterized as the first real freedom fighter in the history of the West who attempted to fight for Scottish liberty against English domination. His name was William Wallace. He so happened to have the name of the Imam's grandfather, Willie Poole. He so happened to have a very close colleague. Not only did he have the name of the Imam's grandfather, Willie Poole, but he also had the name of the Imam, Wallace. But not only that, he had a close relative named John or Elijah, because in Scripture, John and Elijah is the same. And one of his constant companions was an individual by the name of Malcolm. How can back during the time of Scottish history, during the first freedom movement really in the West, when William Wallace and his companion called for freedom, liberty, justice, and equality, how is it that the ones who came up in the West, the sons of Africa, the sons of Ham, ended up with the same names of these first freedom fighters out of Scotland? And after we moved from there to in the news from that part of the world, here we have this vote in Scotland. And when I saw this Pine and Forrester also that was on the next night dealing with this alleged young African-American player, these manipulators, they were talking about the Imam, and they called him Jamal Wallace because he had gone into the Quran and brought out the most excellent message of the Quran. the most beautiful message of Quran. So they call him Jamal Wallace. And in this movie, they had this so-called female that Wallace was attracted to. They gave her the name of his mother. I'm telling you, all this was on television around the time of the Scottish boat. Now, who put this stuff on television? Who brought the name in these Hollywood cinema depictions back to light? Well, what are you talking about, bro? When the man was living, he commented on both of those movies. So don't act like I'm trying to go off on a tangent myself and break the discipline and transform the boundaries of the guidance that Allah gave us through Imam Muhammad, a sincere super student of the Quran and Sunnah Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So no, I don't buy this. They can have 10 African Americans tomorrow so-called beheading somebody. It's mighty convenient. Why are you trying to turn the American public at this crucial moment during Yom Kippur, Yom Kiyama? Why are you trying to turn the American public? If this event happened, I don't know. My wife came in there, and she told me that she had just observed. Why are you trying to turn the American public? Not just against American Muslim, but African American Muslim, making us look like a severe threat in the belly of this great democracy. Who's trying to generate some animus that will check us? What is it that they want to check? What is it that these enemies of God and the enemies of man and the enemies of all decent human beings, what are they afraid of? All of a sudden now, we got an African-American Muslim beheader in this country. Overnight, brother told me today, I had a good week last night. Last week we're having a lot of progress. This is what an imam told me. We're making a lot of progress. Why is it every time it seems that the imam's work is coming back, something happens where all kind of paranoia and fear, that there's an attempt at geeing that up in the average American. These plots, these schemes have been put together for a mind that does not work. At the same time, we saw the genuine soul of an African American son of Ham right before this beheading. The African American, even in our non-Khalifa state, basically has been a good, decent people. We have our crazy ones. We have our wild ones. We have our barbaric ones. But look what happened. This brother, Lavar, may God forgive him of his sins and grant him the blessings of paradise, was just coming out of a convenience store. As he was coming out of a convenience store, this law enforcement person stopped him. Asked the boy to get his wallet. I know because this happened to me. But all praise due to Allah, I didn't get shot. This happened to me, now I didn't dope him. When I went for my wallet to give my license, the way this man asked me, he grabbed his gun asking me, why am I coming out of my front pocket? But with this young brother, when he was trying to comply with a lawful request, the next thing you know, he's being blasted. Got shot 4 times. Innocent. Didn't do anything wrong. Demonstrating that excellent nature of Adam. And he apologizing to the law enforcement agent as if he had done something. His sincere nature, his pure nature made him do that. And I say to my Muslim brothers and sisters and anybody in the audience, look at that. His name was Labar. Look at that name. What's the connection? This brother that played the cultural, iconic, leading figure in the series called Roots, dealing with our origins as Muslims back in Africa. Everybody know that this movie star who played Kunta Kinte, who had the same first name as this young brother, Levar. What are we to read from this kind of connection, from this kind of art imitating life, and life imitating art? This kind of diachronic connection where we go across time back to the days of Roots and connect up today. Because in a large sight, there is no such thing, as I've said many, many times, as time and space. So when Roots was on, and when this incident occurred yesterday, in a large sight, it's occurring at the same time. There's no past, no present, no future when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Past, present, and future is a form of human perception. Even the trees, even the sun, even the moon, those are created orders. Do not have any concept of past, present, and future. Most of creation does not. That's a human perceptive mechanism and phenomenon. Get back. African American Muslim first, to your Elamine nature, to the innocence. Go back to the roots of the first life that Prophet Muhammad lived 40 years, a full lifetime before we got to Revelation. If we remain pure, if we remain innocent, if we remain true to our Elamine nature, these devils and these plotters, they can plan, but Allah will plan. And Allah is the best of planners. And Allah is the best to help. And Allah is the best to protect. So get back to your roots. And we have these Hamitic civilizers before the world seen Barack Hussein Obama and Eric Holder, who now resigns. And it's come on the heels of these child abuse allegations pertaining to Adrian Peterson. Dearly beloved Muslims, dearly beloved audience, dearly beloved friends, give me about 10 minutes or so to deal with this, and I'm going to let you go. Get back to your roots. Get back to our original nature. And we don't have a thing to worry about with these schemers. Allah's plan is strong and unfailing. That good nature is still left in our soul that Du Bois wrote about. When this young man, see, the enemies of goodness, every person that's been murdered, they try to find something impure about the victim. Michael Brown took some cigars, allegedly from a store, so he deserved to be gone down. That's the implication. This brother up in Ohio, in Walmart, getting ready to buy a BB gun. And because he had a BB gun and it looked like a gun, he deserved to be gone down. So Allah in his wisdom brought about a scenario where no taint, no corruption could be placed upon an African-American male. And this law enforcement agent tried to slaughter him like a lamb. But Allah in his mercy did not allow the innocent one to lose his life. Got shot 4 times. And Allah was protecting him so much because of his innocence in that scenario and his sincerity. That even though he was shot 4 times, he was able to dialogue and talk with this brutal, badge-wearing savage. With this brutal, I'm not calling him a savage. As I said 2 or 3 weeks ago, that was his law enforcement agent, one of them, caught on tape. I worked in city government. I met with our police chief today in Selma. I met with two of his top lieutenants, and we were sitting there laughing and talking and solving problems as if we were some brothers back on the block in the hood. I don't have a problem with law enforcement, but if somebody commits a grave act of injustice, if someone turned from a protector of the sheep into a wolf, a bloodthirsty, jaw-gripping, blood-dripping savage of a wolf, then we have to call him out. His officer said, he said, look, I'm a killer. But the first he said, I'm a born-again Christian. Then he said, I'm a killer. And he said, I have killed before. And if you don't want me to kill again, then don't walk in front of me. And then he topped it off by suggesting that because he is a savage killer, that makes him a man of courage. So he blurts out, my parents didn't raise no coward. No, they raised a savage. They raised a brutal savage. Let's go to Bible and deal with this Peterson, this child abuse. Don't you know as an ethnicity, ever since we were brought over here and brainwashed by the church, by Peter. See, look at Peter. Peter's the son of Peter. We were brainwashed, fed a doctrine through coercion. And God's revelation clearly says that he does not desire coercion for his human servants. Brought us over here, put us in a process that separated us from our knowledge, wisdom, and tradition, reprogrammed us in an abusive manner so that we would be willing to put up with the horrible truth. moment of slavery. Abused by Peter, abused by the religious establishment, abused by the church. Oh, yes. And we became clones of the church. I'm not knocking sincere Christian people, sincere church-going people, but I quote Quran. It says truth comes up against falsehood and busts out its brain. I'm going to use that language. Paraphrase. Truth comes against falsehood. So I can respect the sincere faith of any believer, even the Buddhist or the Confucian believer or the Hindu believer, the sincere faith, I can respect that. But we get confused. We are not supposed to respect false doctrine. According to Quran, the Trinity is a monstrous lie. It's a monstrous lie. So why, my mama was a Christian. My daddy was a Christian minister. My granddaddy was a Christian minister. My grandmother, whom I love, was an Eastern Star and a dedicated matron in the church. I respect their sincere faith, and maybe some of the faith I have came through their genetic line, but I'd be darned if I respect that brainwashing that they were given, where they were abused as a childlike, innocent people separated from Mother Africa, sometimes forced from at the barrel of a gun, black puppet preacher in the pulpit, the foreman in the corner with a shotgun monitoring everything that he taught. Monitoring everything that he taught. Oh, yes. So this Peterson thing is, we don't just look at this little like an errant athlete. I'm not going to judge this brother too harshly or try to get in his potential excess and spanking his child, which I agree. He used a little excess. There's no doubt about that. But it's not about looking at that incident. It's looking at a sign as to what's happening in this Yom Medin. Allah is bringing to the forefront the fact that African-American people are sons of Peter, of Peter's son, and we have been victimized in terms of our soul and our spirit with a vicious, psycho-cerebral spiritual abuse. Psycho-spiritual cerebral spiritual abuse. Oh, yes, playing with the Vikings. And we know it's Steve Erick's in the news today. We're getting ready to bring this to a close. I'm going to go to Bible and Quran next week, inshallah, to bag this up. It's Steve Erick's in the news. Now, they claim, according to Aaron historian, that really America was not discovered by Columbus, but the first European that discovered America, according to some historic lore, was Eric the Red. He was allegedly a Viking. Now, we know Peterson, this son of Peter, literally prays for the Vikings. On a little level, the Vikings are just an NFL football team located in Minnesota. But on a higher level, Minnesota is the state where the Imam came out in his soul of the masjid built on sand at Sandstone Prison, when he rejected the stone of the Nation of Islam teaching that Allah came in the person of Farad Muhammad, when he became a sincere, dedicated student of Quran while in prison at Sandstone, Minnesota. Oh, yeah, this is what cell that contain wisdom for those who reflect. In the concept of ayah, it say that it not just means sign, it means sign, evidence, lessons, and proof. Signs are giving the key to divine providence. Look at the word providence, proof and evidence. And as a lawyer, I like the word law. Send his sign, his evidence, his lessons and proof to the human being. Eric the Red and the Vikings. While African-American males are being blown away by cops in this day and time, there's this Eric up in Pennsylvania who allegedly running around in an uncivilized area, meaning the forest and the woods, before civilization clears out the woods, clears out the forest, it is in a primitive state. And so now this cop killer, this American terrorist, he's on the run in the woods of Pennsylvania. And he's tied into this idea through the Vikings of Eric. See, in the word Eric, you see the idea to err or to err is error. Error is human. To forgive is to buy. What's the error? The error is the ice. The ice, that's a short form of ISIS. And this Eric, this ice, connects the world up globally with what's happening in, on the geo-international political scene right near America. The Imam said that this ISIS scheme, as I read in the quote, but he said this in another context, they like to manage the people by using the ICN scheme to get inside of the head of the masses. The cross with the circle on top. He said that circle represents the psychology of the masses. These manipulators, these spotters, these schemers. Way back during the times of ancient Egypt, learn these manipulative techniques to exploit and subjugate the masses. As Quran say, finding something crooked in Allah's revelation. Taking from the revelation, changing it, writing it with their own hands to create a religious doctrine that put the people on ice. So the error is in the ice. And then we have our brother, Eric Holder, a good man. I like him. But he's not proto-Islamic. He's Eric Holder. He's not Barack Hussein Obama. There's no evidence that his grandfather was a practicing Muslim. He may have a genetic disposition back to Africa that's genetic, and we know his original nature is Muslim. But in terms of contemporary life cycle, that's not the case. But he's a big man, but he could be a giant, and many other African Americans could be a giant. Look at that name, Holder. Holding on to the ER, and that's in Eric. Holding on to the errors of the brainwashing that we got through child abuse in the church. Oh, yeah, a good man. But his name said clearly, holding on to the error. He could be a bigger man. He could be a caliper if him and his ilk stop being clones. Stop being children. Stop being mimickers and sons and daughters of Peter. Oh, yes. As a people, we're no longer innocent because we're holding on to that era out of conscious calculation, not wanting to go against the establishment thinking that if we take on a independent religious and spiritual mind, that somehow we're not going to be able to realize our mundane and earthly ambitions. So we calculate, we weigh, we ponder, and we judge that it's best not to give a public appearance that we turn it loose to error. So we hold on to the error. We continue to play with it. We continue to fake it. We continue to jive. Not like the situation of my forebears that I talked about, who believe with faith in darkness. After the Imam came to America, there's no darkness. So we holding on now is a deliberate calculation in broad daylight. Holding on to the error. And they bring this brother back to Virginia, the state of Virgin, playing on the Virgin. This young lady, Graham, disappeared. He's last seen with this fella. So yesterday we had this national African-American male rapist spoiling and despoiling virginity of this innocent young lady. And today, after that atrocity broadcast all over the world, we have this disgusting news of some African-American Muslim allegedly beheading someone in America. I repeat, the man was graced with knowledge that put us on a higher level than these devils. We can't defeat them nor Satan. The man said, we're not to try to fight Satan. Said, he's too strong. Said, we're to fight his scheme. And how do we fight his scheme? How do we fight his plot? How do we fight his plan? We fight his plan by exposing his plan in the light of day. Who are these forces? No matter, every time Allah checked the fire of attempting to taint really African-American Islam, every time he checks it, and to be, here they come again with something. You keep saying that, brother. I'm getting ready to close out. If you believe that some African-American male of his own volition in America today, if this story is true, of his own volition in the name of Islam beheaded some woman with all kind of stuff on his body, if you believe that, then I sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. That's a fact. That's the bottom line. It's no way that this strange sequence of events add up. But let me share to you and let me share to the world. You're not going to isolate the followers of Imam Muhammad, get us locked into all this insanity. So when you move on the so-called radical and insane ones, you can move on everybody, and the good suffer with the bad. Allah is not going to allow that to happen. He didn't allow it to happen to Luke. He said, no, I'm going to protect you. You and your followers can be gone. I'm going to deal with this. He didn't allow it to happen to Noah, build your ark. He didn't allow it to happen to Musa. Those forces, those diabolic, devilish schemers, under the leadership of Pharaoh, they were drowned in the sea, and Moses and his sincere followers who traveled by night, who were spiritually disciplined, they were able to survive the enemy. Didn't happen to Abu Bakr Siddiq and Muhammad in the cave. The schemer thought they had him trapped. But Allah used a little small spider in a spider web to sabotage their activity. We're not afraid. I'm a decent American. I believe in the U.S. Constitution. I'm committed to it. I'm committed to the democratic order. But I have a First Amendment right of freedom of thought and belief and expression, freedom of deen, and I have chosen to be a Muslim, but not only a Muslim, a student of Imam Muhammad. That's my freedom. That's the result of 400 years of my family struggling from slavery to freedom, and I've been done. If we are going to be intimidated to give up this great blessing that Allah has given us, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I hope I'm wrong. I hope this is, if the story exists, I hope it is a genuine news article. But I'm still reflecting on Missouri, where Michael Brown was killed, and I'm from Missouri. With this thing, you're going to have to show me. You're going to have to show me, because there's no way that I'm going to allow, and you shouldn't allow, your innocent, gullible nature to get you to buy now every last little depiction of this commotion after commotion that's being divinely orchestrated. And once Allah starts doing something, then he'll come to Satan trying to duplicate what his Lord is doing. He's trying to orchestrate commotion after commotion in this young Medina. Dear beloved people, I didn't mean to take this long today. I have an obligation this evening with my family, and I plan to go out and enjoy. But before I do that, I must go and check the news for myself. And if this report of this alleged African-American beheader, if my wife, in coming through at the 5 minutes before the broadcast, if she made an error, don't blame her. Blame me, and I ask you for your forgiveness. I taught, I ad-libbed on that as if it was an actual fact. If it's not, please forgive me and understand that we have to be very sensitive to these matters, and we must be able to turn on a dime and analyze them, look for the guidance, and to be able to present an analysis to help keep our people in the light of understanding. That's our responsibility. And again, if it was in error, the blame belongs to me, and I accept full responsibility. But if it actually did allegedly occur, then I stand behind every statement that was made. And we need to be very, very, very careful in this day of Yom Medin, as the Satan himself continues to attempt to manipulate, get inside of the heads of the psychology of the people, play upon their fears and insecurities for his own scheme manufactured and carved out and crafted second coming of Jesus in his image, bringing him out of Zion. Dearly beloved people, we thank you for your attention. We hope and pray that you understand. We leave you as we greeted you. As-salamu alaykum, brother Imam. That completes my broadcast. Any comments or questions? Brother Imam, As-salamu alaykum.
Peace be on our noble and honorable listening audience. We had an emergency which we had to attend to, and our dear brother and dear friend has left us. So if there are any questions for those who are still on the line, you can simply press one on your phone, and you will be recognized. It's 805-727-7013. I would also ask that each and every one of you go to the website, a mosque-cared website, where you will see pictures of Wahidin Muhammad II and he's my imam, mosque-cared president. I was with him last week, and we are looking forward to a great year, 2015, where we will have 40 years of Quranic leadership under Imam Wahidin Muhammad. We also ask you that you send your donations to Religion Means of Imam Alfred Muhammad, Care Religion Means Alive, 817 Jackson Avenue, Linden, New Jersey, 07036. Peace be on you, and we really honor and cherish you very much. We thank you for your loyal support. We appreciate you and salute you with the highest of excellency that Almighty God has created each and every one of us. So, dear beloved people, we are in a great day. The president of Mosque Cares was invited to the Organization of Islamic Countries. This is an honor. It's only given to heads of states. So, dear people, we are on our way. As Imam Muhammad would say, we cannot stop now. And he also says, we cannot be stopped now. So we appreciate you, and we say to our noble and honorable listening audience that please tune in tomorrow. Sunday we'll have a special address. Continue to listen and support Religion Means Alive. Peace be on our honorable and noble listening audience.